It's the Time Spent Poorly show with Eduardo. That's me at TSPN Media on Twitter. And along with me here by my side today is old Huds himself at Huds Magruder on the Twitter as well. Couple of things we should get out of the way before we get this party underway is some of our, like, we always say this stuff at the end, but maybe it's important, maybe you're prudent to mention it at the beginning a little bit to some degree.
While people are thinking about it.
Yeah. If you're a viewer or a listener, if you're a viewer, you can listen to the show in podcast form. We usually break this block up into a couple episodes, so it's kind of a little more digestible. And you can listen to, and you can go to timespentpoorly.com and subscribe from there on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, pretty much any podcast platform that you would look for. We also, depending on where you're watching from right now, we do this live on YouTube, twitch.tv, facebook.com. If you go to, and then we're also on instagram.com. So twitch.tv, facebook.com, and instagram.com are all / Time Spent Poorly Network. YouTube.com has a special / we cut the network off. It's just Time Spent / Time Spent Poorly. And then Twitter is at TSPN Media, at Huds Magruder. When Derek's here, it's at Derek on TSPN. And then also we're on Periscope at TSPN Media, which is a new addition to the...
God, there's so many platforms.
Yeah.
And you so, have to hit them all.
You got to
hit as many people as possible.
Yeah, right.
So you're hitting all these platforms and you know, half of them will be dead next year.
Right. Well, and then we'll have to find another one to hop on board, like to onboard with. But so, yeah. And then also we have, we do have a Patreon. If that's something that interests you, I think our lowest, just the standard fan tier starts at like $3, and then you can do little, extra stuff if you enter into the other tiers. They get kind of a little bit crazy, and I make them that way. Huh?
We have one. Yes.
We do have one patron.
I think we should pull the $3 patron in for like a 15-minute segment, just because he's our first.
If I can get a hold of him, yeah.
I would give it a shot.
Yeah. So if you're the one,
hit us up.
Message me on the patron page or Patreon, or you can. You can actually email me at beerwitheduardo@gmail.com, and I'll get that email there as well. So, speaking of Beer with Eduardo, I did that that beer challenge, the basketball beer challenge, which is...
that first one, it was obvious you weren't going to do it.
Yeah, no, my wife like clued me in on this, and so I was like, well, I do those beer videos, it would make sense for me to do this.
It would not make sense for you not to.
Right. So I went out and I did it. The beer just kind of, you can go on Instagram.com. You can follow us on Instagram and find the video out there. And I have another one, a take two, that I will be posting. But it's, it's stupid.
It's a glassy mess.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. And your son is hilarious. Using this as an excuse to have a beer, right?
Yeah, 14-year-olds, their way of thinking is, they think anytime you're doing any kind of like vice, mm-hmm. that it's that you're doing it to the hilt. So like if I'm drinking one beer, mm-hmm. he acts like I just got done like on doing a cake stand and yeah,
like one of my old 3-dayers.
Right. Yeah. That's how they perceive anytime you're doing anything, it's a party.
Yeah, one shot is all of the shots that anyone's ever taken in the history of alcohol distillery.
I'm going to get into brewing beer.
Nice.
I think starting next month, I've got some stuff on my wish list that I'm going to fill out because I turn 41 at the end of this month. So I'm going to... I turned 41, but I still get like birthday money from
you're gonna make
family.
Your Schrader Brown?
Yeah, I'm gonna make I have a name for it.
Do you?
It's Poor Suckers or something. It's Eduardo's. Is it Poor Suckers? I think it's Poor Suck. Yeah, I think that was what I was going for. Was Poor Suckers?
Poor Suckers, like P O O R
yeah.
O U R or P O R E.
Oh.
Does it suck things out of your pores?
Well, that's
Are you pouring over it? Are you pouring it out?
Well, I was going. I was hanging on the time spent poorly theme.
Oh, got it. So, I like it.
So yeah, and I think it was suckers. It's because you're sucking back a beer. Yeah. So that was the idea. That's kind of where and. The first thing I'm going to try, the kit I'm going to buy comes with a beer you can make, but the first thing I'm going to try is, after that, is I'm going to try to do a cold smoke brew.
Yeah, my uncle did that way back when, like when they first started making home brewing kits, and this was in the 90s, and he had a printer at home, because he worked for a computer security software, he sold computer security software. In the 90s, like when the internet was first
becoming. He made labels, I bet.
Yeah. He made some labels for it, and it was called Borderline Beer, because it was brewed to the point that it was just enough alcohol. It was the maximum amount of alcohol and still be beer and not be, like, malt liquor or something.
Oh, okay.
And so he called it Borderline Beer, and it had this cool, like, cow skull on it. It was a really cool label, and he and his wife did it. It was awesome.
What is the top percentage you can go up to before it becomes something else?
I don't remember.
Most of the beers I see that they top out at like 8%.
Yeah.
Like this one I'm got this I think it's called Syntax. Mm-hmm. It's in the fridge there. It's one of the upcoming ones I'm going to do a beer video on. It's like a peanut butter one, but it's 8%.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's
probably where it tops out.
And I don't think it's an even number. I think it's like 8.7 or something. Mm.
I bet you we could find out.
Decimal. Yeah, we're sitting here with an oracle.
What percent? I'm the best at. Does beer have? What's the minute? What is the minimum beer percent?
When does it not be? When is it not near beer? And when does it? What is the maximum for it to be beer?
The maximum amount present can be 20%, but such types are rarely consumed.
Wow. That's 40 proof.
That is. Wow.
So, is Mad Dog 2020 technically beer?
It could be.
I don't know. And nowadays, there's so many flavors. And
yeah. No, yeah.
It's gotten to the point where it's like all of these.
Sorry to interrupt. Sound like Huds is coming through your mic now. He got super low for me, and every other word isn't picked up. Oh.
He's right. I'm not here.
Talking to your mic. You might need to tip it up towards your face a little bit more.
Is it here? It's not. There it goes. There it was.
I had the wrong one on.
He's got that board there, and when you've got a board with that many switches, sometimes you forget which switch is which.
We're two men down tonight, so like I don't have all of them turned up, and I have uprights in my board for I have 1 and 4 on right now. So
that's thanks, kind Jake.
Of thank you. That better to hit it now than to figure it out later.
Yeah, while we're talking about senseless beer talk and not something serious like Saved by the Bell podcast.
Oh. That is coming up on this episode, or at some point.
Oh, shit. Did I spoil it?
We can talk about it at any point. But Joe Biden picked his running mate today.
He did. That seems to have taken precedent over just about everything.
He picked it today. Just today. It just happened today.
Yeah. Like, and I think I got the message from whatever my Apple News app is on my iPad like 2-3 hours ago. And I've already spread like, hey, Kamala Harris said Joe Biden's accusers, she believes every one of them.
Yeah, that was not from April of 2019.
Yeah, that was the tail end of hashtag believe all women.
Yeah, which was that the nonsense. Inappropriate petting thing?
God, no, there were.
Or the smelly, I mean, or like.
He's been just, in Washington
just
long
being
enough.
Kind of weird.
He's probably raped a good, he's probably got Cosby style numbers.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I don't trust anybody in politics. I mean, look at Kamala Harris. She's like, oh, I believe all of his accusers, but he's good enough for me to jump on his ticket.
Exactly. Well, so I was talking to a coworker today, and I was like, yeah. She's like, did you see who the vice president nominee is? And I was like, yeah, it's kind of predictable. And she's like, how so? And I go, I would hope the delay up for the announcement had less to do with the fact that she's black and a woman and more to do with the fact that, like, she wanted to, like, find out more what's in it for her.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, I can't just be your black female person on the ticket. I have to have, like,
this
little
has to be more than tokenism.
Yeah.
And it isn't.
And that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
They're and it trying feels to like it's going to be that, unfortunately.
Pull these people in, and I don't think it's going to happen.
And there's information out there that he's running his campaign as a bridge campaign,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense in a way because of all the chaos that this particular term has created.
Yeah.
But it will take more than a decade to repair the damage that's happened in the past 4 years.
Well, and he won't be a bridge to anything.
No.
He's not Terabithia, not nowhere, not the over the river Kwai. Like, he's going to, what is he? He's going to be 78 when he takes office.
Yeah.
And he's not.
He might not make it.
Yeah.
Through the first term. I think his plan is to not finish he'll finish his first term.
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't have some terminal
or
disease already.
It could be, yeah. I mean, that could be the play. It could be like, this is the avenue we need to take. I can't cede my nomination at this point.
Yeah.
But if I give it to her and then she takes my place once I have to step down.
Mm-hmm.
Then I like going down these little avenues and these little rabbit holes with my, like, I don't have any, like, any true information to base my opinions on. This mm-hmm. is just kind of like weird precedents.
You look at his behavior, his lack of really being anywhere
or prepared.
Like, for the last month, about a month ago, he just kind of dropped off radar, and you know that there's still plenty of, I mean, between the hard times in Babylon B, like, all of these satire sites are just spitting out stuff, making fun of him and his just kind of weird codgeriness, and even the he hasn't picked a running mate yet because he's not sure which one he likes the smell of best. I mean, like, all of these right, jokes, right. But you haven't seen anything from Biden himself. And the last couple of times we saw him speaking at places, he was incoherent might be the only word for it. I mean, he'd just be like, you'll see videos of,
yeah.
My conservative friends will share these videos of like, and they're edited between speeches, but like, he'll be talking about one thing and he'll switch to another, and then they'll cut to another speech where he's talking about something and he switches in the middle to a completely different topic. And it's not like they're cutting that many times. It's not like that scene in Taken 3 where he's trying to jump them.
It's
back.
Just these weird tangential detours.
Yeah, he's just like, and what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? And speaking of China, I don't like Chinese people. And it's like, Mr. Biden, Mr. Vice President.
Maybe he's taking a play from Trump's playbook, because that's kind of how he moves kind of all over the map a little bit when he's talking. But that stream of consciousness kind of, it's working to a degree because he's got a base. And it's really, just to kind of speak of Trump, it's really bizarre to me how many people are embracing him at this point.
Well, and are still on board there.
And just so, like, devout. Like, I've seen people post stuff on Facebook, and it's like, this one person I follow on Facebook posted something about proud of her daughter. And then also she had to put in there that her daughter was a Trump loving.
Oh.
Carrie. It's like,
It's gotten to the point of idolatry.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. And it's kind of disgusting.
I can't get behind that. Like, and the other thing is, and nobody's talking about it. And there's some, you know, mealy mouthed excuses, but Trump was on Epstein's flight logs, and anybody that was on those flight logs, fuck 'em. I got nothing for you.
Yeah.
Nothing. I don't, Trump's rich enough to have his own private plane.
Something is up.
He didn't need to be on there.
Yeah.
And I know he's tried to distance himself, and this is one of the few political things my mother and I will argue about because she's an ardent Trump supporter. But I don't believe in him, and I don't think he's okay. I don't think he has enough self-control to be the president because, I mean, say what you will about Bill Clinton, who was heavily on those flight logs, but he had a good public face. He had self-control. I don't like him. I don't like Clinton's another one I think should be in prison right now. No presidential pardon. No, oh, whatever. Like, prison. He's got like 47 trips on that jet.
Wow.
He's got a girl in court documents that were released in this Maxwell thing, the ones that they unsealed. This girl names Clinton in them. He's ditching his Secret Service to get on this plane to go to this island.
Wow.
Like, there's no question that the dude is a monster.
Yeah, I mean, he's not just going to have Mai Tais.
And, like, is it a sexually transmitted disease he picked up from Hillary? Because, you know, she's killed, like, 900 people. You ever seen that infographic with all the people the Clintons have killed?
No.
That shit is wild.
So Jake says, back to Biden, didn't he get super defensive about the cognitive test?
Both of them did.
Trump and Biden.
Trump made a big deal about passing the dementia test.
Yeah, I saw part of his interview on... I didn't watch the whole thing. I got some... a buddy of mine told me some of the stuff that wasn't hit. It wasn't the Axios one, but it was the one he did on Fox News with... I can't remember that. Is it Chris Matthews? No.
No, that's the...
No. It's
Tucker,
Mike Wallace. Or Mike Wallace? One of the Wallace... Yeah. Chris Tucker. Wallace, I think.
That might be it. I try and avoid all of the major news networks.
Yeah, I watched... it was an interview that he did following the Axios one that he did for HBO, which was just a fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
But by what would anybody else... What would anybody expect at this point?
Yeah. The only thing that makes me think that there is something okay about Trump is how hard they've fought him. This is never... Like, it's completely unprecedented how much they've tried to impeach him. They've tried to...
And I see some arguments coming from the right that come with those arguments, but they usually come embedded in so many other nonsense arguments that you're just kind of like, it's like, too long, didn't read. I can't keep...
Yeah.
Like, it gets to the point where... If you have this window of opportunity where you want to say what you can in support of him, then say that.
Yeah,
but don't get all this other horse shit and stack it on top because then I fail to see your point.
Well, and
that's the problem I think that both sides of the argument are having right now is like even on the liberal side they come at it from such a fucking vigorous standpoint. Well,
and they try and pile on everything. Like, you can just share tweets that this guy has put out with no commentary, and you can be like, maybe we shouldn't
just Cronkite it. Just give the news. Say that, like, here's this.
Yeah.
Make up your own fucking mind. But the way the news delivers any information anymore is it's all about...
editorializing.
Yeah, it's like...
And you can't do
like,
that.
It's almost like a tattletale getting on the...
Yeah,
on the mic, and it's like, Trump did this.
It's yellow journalism.
Shame. And it's like, okay, well, but what you're doing is making, like, you're getting a rallying cry from the people that you want to agree with you. They're like, yeah, fuck Trump.
Yeah.
But then the people that, like, are embracing Trump are just getting more emboldened.
They're hugging tighter.
Yeah.
And it's the same if it's an interpersonal argument or if it's a national level, global level political argument. If you start yelling, you're not going to convince anyone.
It's the same thing with this mass debate.
Yeah.
Because you see it coming from both sides of the argument. There's now we have anti-maskers.
Yeah.
And then maskers. And it's like, can you just be?
Yeah. Can I just?
Can you just
like,
be?
Like, I don't wear one. I didn't wear one on the plane when I flew across the country. I didn't wear one when I drove across the country. I don't. I just don't do it.
That's, see, and I wear one. That's me. But I wear one for, like, right, the people in my house because they care. Like, I'll be honest. My wife and my kids care about it more than I do. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to get in a fight over it.
Nope.
Why? What's the point?
And I've been respectful if I've gone places. Like, I haven't been to the store. I'll order most of my stuff online. It'll just get delivered.
But if you have to go to the store and they require a mask, you're not going to not wear one.
Right. I'll put it on. I'll hang it off my ear or something. I mean, it'll be there. So if somebody gives me some shit, then I'll put it on. But I don't know. Like, there's too much that says it's really not anything. And all I have to go on, really, is what has happened locally and who has died. We've had 19 deaths, and they were all in one old folks home, and they all had other problems. I don't know anybody who's died of it. I know an old woman who had it and is still alive.
The only thing I'm nervous about is just so I guess I have two thoughts on it. My first one is, like, if we had been more, like, on the ball with shit at the first part, we wouldn't be in the position we are now.
Maybe.
Like, and then my other thought is a little nervous about going back to school in the school setting, just because, you know, of the there are vulnerable people or more susceptible people. There's a lot of old people that are still teaching.
Yeah.
And maybe they should retire. Maybe they should look at this as an opportunity, because they have an old school mentality to their teaching style too. So it's time to retire. But be that as it may, there are people that do have compromised immunities that are working in the school system. But I think they're also taking measures that are practical. Mm-hmm. But it's going, like, there's all that pushback from both sides of the argument still.
Yeah. Well, and the argument that gets me the most is the mail-in voting. Like, if we have to do mail-in voting, if we can't wear masks and go vote, then why are we wearing masks at all? Right?
They won't let you, like, wear a mask to go vote?
No, the Democrats are pushing this mail-in voting thing.
Yeah.
For the presidential election. And I don't agree with it. Like, I don't think that's the right way to do it.
If you could vote in a... You would... Well, okay, so mail-in's always been here.
Right. But
now we're doing
absentee.
It on a... Right. Now we're doing it on a national scale.
Now they're pushing it as a everyone mail-in vote.
Right. Is it mail-in or nothing? Are they not going to open up the polls at all?
They haven't decided.
Okay.
But this is what the push is. And so if I could wear a mask and go vote, I would do that. If that would comfort
the
people.
If you could vote and actually go into a personal into a
but if
voting
I can't,
booth and vote.
If I can't do that, then why is anybody wearing masks at all? Because I'm not going to be... You voted for the last 22 years. This mm-hmm. will be your 23rd time that you're legally able to vote.
Right.
You've never been in that voting booth with another person.
Well, especially here locally. I know it's probably different in bigger cities and bigger populations.
But your booth is your booth.
Your booth is your booth, yeah.
You're spread. There's curtains. You're separate. And I know that most of the people that sit, especially locally, are old people.
Right.
So let me put on a mask. I'll suck up my pride and put on a fucking mask and be a ninja so I can go vote. But if that's not acceptable, then why is anybody wearing masks at all?
Right.
Because if they're not going to protect them, if it's not going to protect the people at the voting booth who have masks themselves and the voters are wearing masks, and if somebody doesn't have a mask, don't let them vote. That's cool. Fuck them.
Well,
they can't comply for 15 minutes to vote? Fuck them.
Well, I agree with you, because I don't know what the whole argument is, because the school thing is scarier to me than any of the things that are going on right now, because you're around these people for extended periods of time. And I think the longer you're around a person, or the longer you're around an individual that's carrying it, mm-hmm. the more
Time on better, target means more time.
So, like,
you have to catch it.
Like 15 minutes in the grocery store and you're passing all these people, you're probably going to be fine.
Yeah, you're not because sharing
you're
not, germs with those
you're
people.
Not interact. You're, one, you've got your mask on anyway if you're in the store because everyone's requiring it mostly. But two, you're not spending a maximum like more than 5 to 10 minutes with any one particular person, and now they've got the glass wall there. Why can't they put protocols in place at the voting booths to keep them, one, sanitized? They do it everywhere else now. They're doing it everywhere else now. Why not adapt?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're saying we're not willing to adapt
for
voting for this one
thing.
We want to complicate things and make things. And I would almost say, okay, Democrats, concede. Don't do the voting booth. Try to win the election legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid that Trump's going to, Putin's going to white horse and win the election for him, which he might.
He could.
Who don't? But if
but
he
nobody
does,
talks
he does.
About Israel but, fucking with elections.
Right.
And they do it every year. They've approved every single president we've ever had, including Trump.
Yeah. Well, and so. So concede, because what'll happen is if Biden wins through mail-in ballots, it will be illegitimized by Trump and his entire base.
Right.
Whether
just
he wins,
like
it, whether he wins it legitimately or not.
Yep. Just like beating Clinton was. It's just going to be 4 more years of this from the opposite side.
Yeah.
And do we really need that? I don't need that. No. I don't need a government that's locked up in fucking with the president. I don't need that.
No.
That's why I don't want another 4 years of Trump, because it's just going to be another 4 years of, hey, fuck this guy. Let's see how much we can mess with him for another 4 years while he's a lame duck. Mm-hmm. And if it's Biden, then it's going to be the same from the Trump people. And suddenly the Republicans are going to give a shit. Even the ones that are against him. Oh, I don't approve of him. And I hate his motherfucking Twitter account. I wish he would just shut up.
Oh,
like
Trump?
Yeah.
He's like a little kid.
Don't fucking type, dude. Just stop it. Like, if you want to post some facts, just post some facts. Stop fucking fighting with everybody. And we've been talking offline quite a bit about conspiracy theories. And this is where they lose me. All of them. They start throwing in weird shit. Oh God, there's alchemy going on, and they've got demon worshippers, and there's fucking time travel. Like, that's where QAnon lost me, was time travel. Motherfucking time travel, Eduardo. You had me on these people being fucking, pedophiles. Leave it alone.
Then he's like, oh, let me take it up an unbelievable notch. Let's make it fucking sci-fi.
They're wearing creepy red shoes made out of human skin, and they're worshiping devils and time traveling. Stop it. Cut while you're ahead. I don't care if those people believe they're worshiping devils.
You had me at hello, Jerry Maguire. You don't have to keep selling the bullshit.
The handshake was good. You didn't need to try and jerk me off, too. Like, leave it alone. Make your argument. Put out the points that are true. I mean, you look at, like, Podesta's art, and this is the Comet Ping Pong Pizzagate thing. So they had a room where they could rape and kill children in the basement of this place, right? Leave it at that. Don't tell me they're worshiping the devil, because you're going to lose people. Don't tell me there's time-traveling reptilian aliens involved. Leave it the fuck alone, because use what's in reality that you can prove with evidence. You can't prove that these people are reptilian aliens, and I can't prove that they're not. Just like, so leave it alone. Just leave that solipsistic shit out.
What presidents has been there?
Yeah.
That's been like, oh, well, that's this all tracks. Reptilian aliens? Okay.
Do you see the artifacts in the video? Like, yeah, there are artifacts in the video. Like, there's a reason that she glitches out. It's because it's a digital format, and it was 1996. Just make your point that you have facts that will back it up. I mean, the art in these people's house alone is enough to be like, they're probably fucking kids.
Yeah.
And then you've got girls testifying in 2015. You've got flight logs. You've got convictions. Leave it at that. Stop going off the deep end. conspiracy theory is ridiculed for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because those people are constantly going two steps too far.
Well, that's the Bill Hicks will go. Well, this right. would be a perfect segue too, but we'll go into that. I was going through the video today, and like, there's certain parts. It's like I'm sold. But then this guy will kind of go off into the weeds somewhere with like this weird example, and it's like, and so those aren't the parts that I actually pulled for to play, because it was like, you're defeating your whole fucking argument right here.
And there isn't a single one out there that isn't like that. Like, yeah. I get it. Reagan believed in astrology, and so he had things timed out in his presidency,
right,
based on those things. So you can use that as a predictor of when things will happen, right? Even as far as this year is gone.
Or the one about Barron Trump being a Satan time traveler.
Yeah, because there's a Barron Trump book from like 1864 or something. And like, but why? Why can't you just leave those out? If you believe that, you believe that, and that's cool.
Right.
But you can't prove it, so leave it the fuck out, because it hurts your argument.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it goes back to, like, Trump's tweets. You're hurting your position by being yourself. And, you know, people will post that shit all the time. Oh, be yourself. It's a beautiful thing to be. Like, no, it's not. No, it's not. The real me is a loudmouth cocksucker. And you don't want him yelling in your face or anything. So I try not to be myself most of the time. But, like, arguments like this, they bring it out in me. And these people and their stupid shit. Like, just hold that shit back.
Oh, yeah.
But the bit about this Alex Jones stuff, about him being controlled opposition and that sort of thing, totally believe it. I believe QAnon is controlled opposition.
Yeah.
I think it's put out there so certain people will get some hope and be like, oh, we're going to make this change. The storm's coming. We're going to wipe out the pedophiles and drain the swamp and great cornholio. And it's not going to happen.
Right.
It's a rallying cry. BLM, controlled opposition.
Right. Well, we're just going to kind of slip back into relaxing.
Yeah.
And watching our 86-inch TVs. I bought an 86-inch TV. But, yeah, I mean, that when all this stuff happens, it's like I'm like, well, this would be great if we actually did anything with it, but it's all just going to kind of like go back to what it was, and then we'll revisit in another 20 years and not do anything with it then.
Well, and if I hadn't had this little, I don't know, tension release just now where I just kind of spouted about how fucked up it all is, I would go insane, like literally insane, following these rabbit holes. Because you'll find them. I mean, as soon as you look at one, you're down 11 different rabbit holes. You're talking about fucking one world governments and yada, yada, yada. Do you know, I don't think that's a thing. I don't think anybody wants this one world underground government, because the rich people are making more money.
We're going to go into that. Some of the description in that link I sent you of what the difference between the two are.
Yeah.
It's just great to like kind of go through and dissect. It'll be fun to go through and read that.
And All it is a bunch of rich people trying to get more rich. That's it. And there's ways you can get around that. I mean, you've got enough room up here, and you've got some chickens, and you could...
I had some chickens.
You had some chickens. Did they kill each other, or did you get a coyote or something?
That's an interesting story. So we'll take a brief segue for the chicken story, but keep your... So we had six chickens, right?
Right.
Two of them were roosters. Originally, we had four roosters because the guy that like sexed our chickens
was
in a grade school hatching project got it wrong. Because we brought five chickens home thinking we had five hens. Four of them were roosters. We ended up getting rid of two immediately.
Was it like a chicken gangbang then?
Oh, fuck. That one hen,
she was just
God,
a mess.
Fucking wrecked, I'm sure. She didn't lay eggs for like 6 months, like longer than it would take. She was like 9 months old before she started laying eggs.
Wow.
And so Anyway, so we got rid of the two. Then we still had two roosters. And then we picked up another four hens. And so we had seven chickens. One eventually died just of, like, I don't know what circumstance. I just found it dead in the coop one day. Mm-hmm. Got sick or whatever. But, and then we had six forever. And then earlier this year, we got rid of the other two roosters because the neighbor turned us in for having roosters. And you're not supposed to have them in the city limits unless you're, like, kids in 4-H or something. And I think then you have to prove it. So we got rid of the two roosters. We found a home for them. And then we had just the four hens. Then one died.
Was it a soup? Was the home a soup?
No. Oh, we gave it to some people that wanted some roosters.
Nugget and thigh. Here we go.
So, well, and I don't know. Like, for me, it was always like, I don't know. I can't kill one of my chickens. I just can't. And so, but then one died. So then I, like, toss it in the garbage sack, throw it away. And then like, we went to Montana and we came back and then one got hauled over the fence into the neighbor's yard and got killed. Like, got something, packed it off and killed it. Well, over the winter, we had raccoons or mm-hmm. a raccoon in our yard. Because I saw it, we had, like, footprints in the track or in the snow, but it never went back there. Mm-hmm. And we still had roosters, and I think the roosters were, while they might have been raping the fuck out of those chickens, the hens,
they were keeping them safe.
And that's what pimps do.
Like, it's a good deal. The pimp pants, strong little iceberg slam shit.
But so they the one hen died, so the one hen got hauled off, and then, like, last week I was out here doing, or about it, well, it was 2 weeks ago now, almost 2 weeks, I was out here doing a Time to Go Mad show with Joe Madness. Mm-hmm. Joe Madness. And
friend of the show.
I forgot to shut the gate to the back, and my wife decided at some point she was going to let the dogs outside. And so I'm in here doing the show, and all of a sudden I can hear my wife outside, and I just hear her going, "No." And my dog's name is Lady. She's like, "Lady, no, no, no." And it's just like, it's more and more. I'm like, oh, and I'm just thinking, oh my God, did the dog get hit by a car or something? Or what? Dog get hurt?
Not the
and
dog.
And so she comes in. She's like, "The dogs killed the chickens." And we were down to two at that point. And so I was like, "They killed the chickens." And so I was like, "Joe," and we were in the middle of the show. He was like, "I got to go.
I gotta go." Like,
okay. And so I just abruptly ended the stream.
There's been right a chicken there. Murder.
And so I went out and they got one, but they were just running around like crazy with this one dead chicken. And who knows how long they had it for, but it,
even the most docile dog turns into a complete fucking animal when it kills something.
We've been calling her like the chicken murderer for the past 2 weeks. So, but it was both dogs. They both played their part. But the one chicken was alive. Though when I went back there, it had, like, its beak open, like that half-open beak, and it's just kind of sitting there, like, all wide-eyed and kind of, like, just...
I hate my everything. Just end it.
Then it lived another couple of days, and I was asking a friend of the show, Jeff, if he wanted a hen, because I was like, "Do you have extra hens?" He's like, "We don't have enough hens." Because I was like, if he has extra hens, maybe he'll give me a couple so that my one isn't lonely. Uh-huh. And I was like, "Okay, well, do you want the one that we have?" And then he's like, "Well, let me check." And so then in between him checking, and then I, like, texted my son. I'm like, and we were in Moscow doing something up there, and I texted my son. I was like, "Check or go feed the chickens, or go make sure the chicken has enough water and food and stuff, or can get the eggs." And he goes out there. He goes, "I can't find it." He texts me. I was like, "Send me pictures. Look around." So then he looks around and it got hauled off into the neighbor's yard again. He goes, "There's a bunch of feathers and there's a big clump, like a feather clump, bloody feather clump over there in the yard." And I'm like, "Take a picture." And I was like, "Yep, that's it.
That's it."
So I was like, "That." Then I'm like, "Okay, we're done with chickens. Next year we're going to modify that and make it a wow. fire pit Goodbye. Back there." But anyway, back to now. We've gotten the chicken story out of the way. I think it was important to tell.
It was. You weren't sacrificing them to dark pagan gods.
No.
They were sacrificed to regular beasts. The controlled opposition idea is that there's a built-up fake enemy involved. Whatever it is, whatever it is. It's Satan worshipers. I mean, they did it in the 80s with Dungeons and Dragons and the Satanic Panic. We did it with God, in as early as the 1800s, they used the Chinese as something.
Chicken pimp joke.
Chick game. Chick James gonna have to slap a bitch?
Nice.
fantastic, Jake. You know, they talked about the yellow peril and, you know, all of this anti-Chinese rhetoric. You'll see hints of it in Deadwood. You'll see hints of it in Tombstone. But they would take some other, whatever that other is.
Yeah.
And they tout it up as this big, like, amorphous, like, other that you can fight. And nowadays it's a virus. This invisible cloud thing that can kill you at any point. No matter how healthy you are, no matter what you do for your immune system, which is another thing they've never talked about, is here's some things you can do to bolster your immune system so maybe you have a better chance of surviving. Nobody said that. Nobody, not once in the last 8 months have I heard shit about that.
All right, why don't you take some vitamins?
Take a multivitamin and get some exercise.
Some Centrum.
Some fresh air and sunshine.
Yeah, no, it's just everybody, let's panic.
Let's wait until someone can give us a pill or an injection that will fix us. Let's do that.
Oh, and
because there's money to be made.
Putin made a vaccine.
Putin and his vaccine.
And his daughter
Bill
took
Gates
it.
And his vaccine.
She took it, so it must be good.
I don't know.
That's what he says.
She's probably some genetically modified Russian super soldier. Because when we were kids, it was the fucking Russians we were supposed to be scared of, kids.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's the Chinese again, and it was Kim Jong-un for a while. And then it was his sister. Do you remember when it was Kim Jong-un's sister? Right before this pandemic started, when Kim Jong-un supposedly died in surgery and his horrible propagandist sister was going to be in charge?
There was some rumor that some other bitch killed him, too.
Yeah.
And that...
There's all kinds
of... Like, there's this secret takeover, and he's like, he's actually dead. I don't know if he's...
Who knows with North Korea?
Who knows?
Maybe it really is a paradise inside there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been there.
Right. It could be wonderful.
Yeah. Never been to North Korea.
All the stories about him could be true.
Yeah. He could score 8,000 points per basketball game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Glorious leader. Best Korea. But you, there will always be this other. And the concept of the other gets shifted down into these things called controlled opposition.
Yeah.
And controlled opposition ends up being more your Black Lives Matter movement or Occupy Wall Street. I think they were not because they didn't last and no one's talked about them. But the Occupy movement?
Oh, yeah.
I think that one might have been a real protest. But when you have tour buses and shirts printed up, and deliveries of bricks on corners, that's a group that is bought and paid for to go in and rabble rouse.
Yeah.
They are not, and they're not outside the control of the people who are, they're trying to make their image better, whatever that is.
Right.
And, It's good, solid crowd control tactics. Because if you've got people on the ground...
If you could build it with a small faction, too. You don't have to do... Because people are inclined to follow, which you've seen.
You need 20 to 40 people if you want a protest that's going to last 60, 70, 80, 90 days.
So there's the... Because there'll be the arguments like, you mean to tell me that the government or whatever, you know... One world government would want to, like, would get thousands of people to protest or whatever. No, they wouldn't. They don't need to.
They need 30 people, 40 people.
Yeah.
And you take those 40 people, you train them, you send them out. They're not going to be the ones that are out there throwing bricks. They're going to be the ones out there whispering about throwing bricks. They're going to be like, hey, look at this big pile of bricks over here, guys.
Aren't they great?
Let's fucking do that. That business looks like, and what businesses are they burning? The businesses they are claiming to try and protect. Why? Why did you burn down that guy's comic book shop? What, was that oppressing you? I don't think so.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't... things like... well, like so, QAnon. They've got... there's obviously somebody close to Trump who's involved in that. Because they'll say something, and then a couple days later, it'll come out in one of his speeches. Hmm. And it's just some little thing. And I think it's there to try and give them credibility and also give him credibility. But I think that they're part of everything. Because Trump has been friends with the Clintons for years. He's donated to their what is that foundation that paid for their daughter's wedding and stole all those kids from Haiti? The Clinton Foundation, duh. He's donated money to them. And I know that like in 92, 93, he said, you know, if I was going to run for president, I'd run as a Republican because they're easier to control. And what did he do 18 years later?
Yeah. Well, there's whatever interview he did with Oprah Winfrey. Different. It was like almost a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever watch that?
Yeah.
Where he was better spoken then than he is now.
He's very smart. I think that fame and the regular deterioration of age has made him less cagey.
Erudite, or not even so. It wasn't that he was so smart, but it was just like he was thoughtful in what was coming out. Like the word, like everything he had was like a thoughtful thing. And it wasn't like anything that seemed like coached. It seemed like these were thoughts he'd come up with on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And if Oprah Winfrey's like, because she's built this reputation over the years for being like a source to go to, and she's having him on a show to talk to him.
Rumor has it she's a child fucker too.
To talk to him like she's support, like almost in support of him running for president. At the time.
Yeah.
This was like, I think it was in the 80s.
Late 80s, early 90s. Early 90s. Yeah.
But yeah, it's bizarre.
It is. But, you know, up until he came out as a Republican, there was a good chunk of the black community that liked him. And and used him as an example. Like, oh, you're Trump rich. He became slang. Like, and he always has been my whole life. I mean, there were Trump board games, and he had Trump stakes, and he had a school, and he had buildings.
Home Alone 2.
Golden buildings with his name on it. Home Alone 2. And he was in... I mean, just 2 years before he ran for president, he was on fucking WWF.
Yeah.
Possibly getting the coif shaved. I mean, it ended up being Vince McMahon that got shaved. But of course it did, because he can't lose to Trump on... or he can't win against Trump on TV. All that stuff. I mean, it's just all very weird. And I don't care if they believe weird shit, but like there's some crazy Oprah Winfrey stuff out there. Like she had a kid when she was like 14 and it ended up dying and she sacrificed it to some pagan god so she could get her riches. I mean, there's some weird shit out there. And you know what I think? I think just because of who she's been buddy-buddy with over the years, that she's into that kitty diddling too. And that's it. Like, I don't think that there's some weird, dark devil that they're all sacrificing children to. I think they're just fucking kids and then killing them so they can't talk about it. And some of them, they like enough that they get to get out and testify.
Yeah.
But I...
well,
I,
do you think she's... I have a hard time buying the whole thing just because it's like, well, what would be the motivation to get into some form of show business? Is it just as a masquerade, to masquerade the desire to fuck kids, or?
No, the show business thing is because that's a
primary interest.
That's a spot where you can get a hold of kids.
Oh, that's true.
Have you ever met a stage mom? They're fucking horrible people. And they'll do anything. I mean, you get a little hint of it like in Jessica Jones with Patsy, her mom. But like, it's not just like, oh, you know, my raggedy-ass mom blew a producer so I could get a spot on the Disney Channel. No. Mom sold the little girl. Because there's that guy that works for Nickelodeon who loves children's feet. Have you heard about this guy?
No.
He's creepy as fuck. And he's another one of those ones that it's like, why is he still allowed to produce children's shows if he's giving these girls $10 so he can rub their feet? And then whatever else happens.
I might be on a
watch list now. Dan Schneider have a weird foot fetish? Yes, he does. I don't have anything for you to take, Dan. That guy right there.
Oh, well, no. Yeah, no, duh.
Doesn't he look like he licks some toes?
Let me get that guy on screen real quick. Yeah, he's totally a toe licker.
And, you know, I don't care. I don't care if that's your thing, but but as the law stands now, you got to keep it over 18, man. Just stop doing it to these little girls.
Yeah, for sure. Ugh. What a creepy dude.
Isn't he?
So, so Bill Hicks to Alex Jones.
Yes.
Basically, is the. You sent this to me a few weeks ago. And the video itself, for the most part, was really compelling. At the very least, it was just interesting because. So.
There's some crazy.
I discovered some Bill Hicks stuff later. Like, I didn't follow him when I was a kid because I was too young. And it wasn't like that wasn't on like my radar at all. I think he died in like 94 or something like that. 93, 94. But so the theory is basically that Alex Jones existed as a different person. And then
there's
a couple different theories.
Right.
Yeah. One that I went down earlier today was on another video where there is actually a younger looking guy, and then the same year there's this pudgy looking guy that like all of a sudden looks a lot like him but not quite. And that was where they I think it was in 96, that's where they said that
And they had the same best friend.
Hicks came in, yeah, like, they share the same best friend.
There's all these little things that are like, wow, that's, I mean, even if it's not true, it's awful compelling.
Yeah. I'll play the first 3 minutes of this video and then within a couple time codes.
Hey, everybody. ODD here. What's good?
What's good?
I wanted to dive into this Alex Jones, Bill Hicks debate. I've been researching the idea that Alex Jones might be Bill Hicks, and I got to admit that at first, I thought it was completely silly and I didn't want to go there, but
he didn't want
I watched
there.
A fellow Truth Seekers video called Alex Jones is Bill Hicks 15 Proofs. It's by Taboo Conspiracy. Big shout out to
this
him.
Is the one that was the one I was looking at. I think
so anyway, this video will probably receive quite a bit of hate because A, there's a coordinated attack on this information.
Did you know he's not in it for the likes?
I believe, and that's what it appears.
Is anybody?
B, there are tons of people brainwashed by InfoWars, and they think it's a legit source for truth.
InfoWars.
People who love Bill Hicks think that he would never do anything like this because he was a loose cannon. Luckily, I've never been here for the likes, so I don't really care. Anyway, some say that even if Alex Jones is Bill Hicks, it doesn't matter. I say, if Bill Hicks was recruited to assume the character of Alex Jones as the leading controlled opposition to the mainstream media, then I think that's a big deal. And let me say this, Bill Hicks, for what he was and what his work consisted of, I absolutely love him. He was a total badass, and I have all of his work, and I watch it every once in a while.
We have figured it out. Go back to bed, America. Your government has figured out how...
I like how he's like, I watch it. Like, you think he's going to say all the time, and he's like, every once in a while.
I cut back to it, like old heads with George Carlin. And, yeah, what a, this guy.
How it all transpired. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here's American Gladiators. Watch this. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Here's American Gladiators. Here is 56 channels of it. Watch these pituary retards bang their fucking skulls together and congratulate you on living in the land of freedom. Here you go, America. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
I don't want to disrespect the man if he is dead, but I genuinely don't think so, and here's why. First off, they look identical. When comparing pictures of the two, you'd have to be blind not to see the similarities.
It is interesting, like, watching these pictures.
Yeah.
There's a point here where he goes down this weird rabbit hole, then I'm like, ah, no.
Yeah.
I know we all have doppelgangers, but these guys both grew up in the state of Texas and have the same teeth, which is damn near an impossibility, especially when considering all of the other things they have in common.
Then I got another time code here. See if I can get to it.
When you click on AJ's bio, it has some interesting things.
Oh, fuck you.
Chalam shale.
Ads.
Mustahil.
Read the top part here. I became familiar with Alex Jones in the early 90s when he had his first cable access show in Austin, Texas. Alex used to sit in front of a star map, and I had a hard time putting my finger on exactly what it was that Alex was talking about. I remember the very last time Bill Hicks came to Austin Access, spring of 93, we were working on a script called Public Access about a Rush Limbaugh-type character who angers a viewer, and the viewer came to the station and killed the host on air. Bill's character was an abstract composite of various Access personalities, including Alex. Okay? It's basically saying that Bill Hicks was assuming a role that incorporated Alex Jones. That's pretty funny. Now let's just finish this paragraph. Bill actually watched Alex one day and said, "He has magnetism, but I can't tell where he's going." So Bill Hicks and Alex Jones have supposedly been in the same place at the same time. I would say on multiple occasions, if Bill was utilizing Alex's personality for his Rush Limbaugh-type character. And there's no photos that exist of the two together. You can find Bill Hicks with Kevin Booth. You can find Alex Jones with Kevin Booth. But not Bill and Alex. It's not incriminating on its own, but it's worth your consideration as we continue. Bill Hicks was working on a...
So...
Well, and what's interesting is both of those are concerning Waco, Texas, and the Branch Davidian siege. The left is when Bill Hicks was there, and then 2 years later they were doing a retrospective or something, used Alex Jones. And I don't know, man.
It's definitely compelling. Then, okay, I'll jump ahead again a little bit.
Take it to where you lose it. Because you had a point, you said you lose it. You're like, no, I don't. No.
Oh, I didn't even grab those time codes.
Oh.
Just because they kind of, he just kind of goes off into the weeds and he's like, and also.
Yeah.
And it's like.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And also, everything like, before.
No. Just hit the, just the facts.
Everything after that and cut it because you're just.
If it starts to sound a little like a little bit far-fetched or out there, then, like, okay, let's move on.
Well, and, like, Alex Jones looks the right age for what Bill Hicks would be, not what Alex
That's
Jones
what this
is.
Next part
is that
is.
What this is?
Oh, well, it's coming up. Yeah.
People say that Bill and Alex don't sound alike, but actually they do at times.
Oh, this part's.
Here's Bill Hicks.
That's another tangent I could love to go off of.
And here's Alex Jones.
You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers and you bastards are probably going to end up killing me one day? You know what it's like knowing you've ruined my life? You know what it's like, you sons of bitches? I'm tired of your crap! You commit evil, you're part of an evil system, and we're standing up against you! And the Republic is going to defeat you in the end!
I don't have a cock! I can yell at performers! Because I'm a fucking idiot!
I go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers and you bastards are probably going to end up killing me one day.
Bill Hicks as an entertainer could do lots of voices, I'm sure. Hell, here's Alex Jones showing you some of his.
Well, we're down here at the legendary Access Studios, where Bill Hicks was interviewed by Lord Booth. Get behind our troops out there in the Gulf. Road home for our boys comes back from Baghdad.
And here's the age difference.
This was the one for me.
Yeah.
No, but it really seems Bill Hicks is 12 years older than what his character.
One of the most common combos
Fuck
that people
this guy.
Shut up, bro.
Character Alex Jones claims to be. That being said, let's play a little game.
Shall we?
How old is that
Shall
man?
We play a game?
Thirty or 42.
He looks older than I do right now. I'm almost 40.
Yeah.
32 or 44. 35 or 47. 39 or 51.
Moving forward, Kevin Booth credits Bill Hicks and Alex Jones as the producer of his 2013 film, American Drug War II.
We'll just keep it going.
On many occasions, Alex Jones talks about being Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
Yes, I am Bill Hicks. Or to be more accurate, you didn't get it all, did you? You didn't get the full conspiracy. I played the character, Bill Hicks, for 15 years with my accomplice, Kevin Booth, and we fooled you all. The master actor, the master genius. And then I decided to bring forward an even more incredible persona, that of Alex Jones.
The Queen of England's my mother. Oh, actually, that'll start a new conspiracy theory. Actually, Bill Hicks is my mother.
No, the government, in an immaculate conception, climbed on top my mom.
So there's an argument to be had that he's just having fun with the conspiracy theory piece of it with some of this stuff, but
mother, and that's how you got Alex Jones. I am the son of Obama, Bill Hicks.
The whole world is a stage and each of us players upon it. I mean, as Bill Hicks, I know that better than most. Folks, I am Bill Hicks. And I'm sitting here looking at all this, and these people come up to me on the street and they go, Hey Joe, something like five times. And then I knew you were, you know, you were I mean, not
Alex
Joe.
Jones. Alex.
Whatever. Whoever
your fucking name is. Alex
I?
Jones.
All right, the programming's ringing out. So I want to just get this out of the way. I am Bill Hicks.
Has been.
So those are the clip. That's what I clipped.
Yeah. And there's.
I mean.
What was the other?
The link, or just if you want to watch the whole thing, Bill Hicks to Alex Jones, creating the controlled opposition. Basically, this sent me down a rabbit hole about the controlled opposition stuff, and which kind of is how we landed here today. But I pulled up some information on the One World Government, and it goes into a lot of like real interesting details about history of the debate. Medieval Italian poet and philosopher Dante Alighieri offered the strongest argument in support of a one-world government in The Banquet, 1304 to 1307. He supported the idea of an omnipotent ruler. Dante suggested that having attained all the power under the sun, a supreme ruler wouldn't wage war or engage in aggression because he's already in control. Because he possesses everything, the ruler would not desire to possess anything further, and thus he would hold kings contentedly within the borders of their kingdoms and keep peace among them. Does that seem feasible or plausible at all?
No, because I think that the people that fall under that, I've been into conspiracy theories for 25 years, at least since mid high school.
Yeah,
one of my favorite topics.
And I'm just starting to dip my toes.
The absolute favorite topic of mine is this. And you know, you hear things, a lot of them are anti-Semitic, a lot of them. And you have to sift through that shit to get to the stuff that seems like it's more real, like the 13 families of the Illuminati, like that sort of thing. I don't know if that's what they call themselves, but that's what pop culture has labeled them as. You know, the Rothschilds, the Astors, and on and on. And they really do own all the banks. The Rothschilds own all the banks. Like, it's not some conspiracy theory. They just do. Like, the big main banks, they're owned by them, the Carnegies, the Mellons, there's only a few families that run fucking everything. And I don't think, and I think Dante was wildly naive, thinking that someone who had everything
would suddenly be content, and he'd be like,
like, now because I have some stuff. I don't have a lot of stuff, but I have some stuff. And you have some stuff. You've got a great fridge. The Rothschilds don't have that fridge.
Right.
But maybe they want it. And if they did, they'd just come take it.
Right.
But these people collect money. It's like the legends of dragons come from these people. Like, they just want to make their hoard bigger.
Right.
You know? And the only way to not fall under that is to just try and perfect the space that you have.
Right. Well, see, I think his argument comes only from his own perception, like his own personal feelings. Right. Like, if I had everything, I wouldn't want for anything more.
But,
and it's like, because there's a certain point where I'm going to be like, oh, I'm content, and I'm pretty satisfied now. I'm satisfied. Like, me personally, like, I don't need to. Like, but everybody has different drives. There's people that need to go and try to pursue, like, higher office, to be in control of things. And so it's illogical to think that if one person has all the power, that they're going to do good with it.
And these people are conditioned from childhood to be greedy.
Yeah.
Greedy for whatever it is that they're after. And it's, most cases, it's money, but sometimes, and money becomes power, but like, normal people will become content after a time, once they hit a certain point. And I think, based on studies, it's somewhere around about $73,000 a year in America, you can be comfortable and content, and you don't need to climb any higher to get any happier unless you've got that drive. And the type of people who have that drive are the type of people who need to be in power in every situation they're in. And they cannot feel weakness.
Right.
Which is why the people who are predatory end up moving higher. Because when you're predatory, you can't handle feeling weak. And so those people with those predatory predilections move up. Because they want to be president. And somebody said,
yeah, it takes a bit of a monster to want to pursue something like that. I don't think there's anybody out there today that wants to do it for the good of the people.
No, no. Everybody wants to further their shit. I mean, look at Maxine Waters.
It's all agenda-based.
Look at the section of California that she represents, and it's just trash. It's homeless people and rundown buildings, and she doesn't live there. She lives off in Beverly Hills. She just represents and has a building there. So she has a building where she keeps an apartment or something so she can be the representative of that district. Or when Hillary Clinton was moved or bought a place in New York so she could run for Senate in New York. It's the same thing. These people want to be in charge, and that's what they want. And there's a part of me who's like, what the fuck does it matter?
Yeah.
Like, it's not really affecting me. And it won't. As long as I stay out of the big cities, as long as I keep to my own little area, whatever.
Yeah. I think if there needs to be, I think there needs to be some kind of government, but not the kind that we have today currently. I think there's a broken
Oh, it's definitely
system
busted.
In place. And but there's just so much so much of a content nature to it that nobody is willing to. There won't be an uprising, not in our lifetime.
Well, like what Bill was saying. I mean, there's an uprising going on right now. Half of Portland was on fire.
Well,
if it's to be believed. I mean,
right.
You've got people saying there's nothing going on, and you've got people saying like, oh God, the fucking secret police are stealing people because they're vandalizing too close to a federal building. And
like, it will be a long
knows?
Time before there's anything like a meaningful one, though. We're too fractured as a country.
There'll be uprisings, but no revolution.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Well,
even the history of the revolution, and I haven't delved that much into it, but even the history of the revolution is painted in a light that isn't exactly.
It's not true.
Accurate.
No.
It's like. We got our freedom. No, yeah.
Founding father idolatry is just as bad as Trump and Biden and Democrat and Republican idolatry. They're just as bad. There's a reason that those Ten Commandments are in the Bible, whether you believe in God or not. Those are good things to live by. Because if you start bowing down to some golden calf, there's going to be a problem. Whether it's fandom, oh, I'm a Trekkie. Oh, I like wrestling. Oh, I love Marvel movies. Marvel movies are the best thing ever. I follow every comic book.
You can't walk lockstep with anything. Because what happens, and that's the biggest problem. Like, don't become a big like Uber fan of like us or anything. I don't become a fan of anything like extremely like hardcore. I get like I'll enjoy something, but. I'll also like keep it at a distance because it's like I like Jason Bateman a lot.
Yeah.
But what if tomorrow something came out about Jason Bateman?
Yeah.
That like what if he was a kid diddler? Then all of a sudden, then I've got all this like Jason Bateman love I've poured onto everybody.
Bill Cosby kind of accusation.
And then I have to fucking go to bat for him.
Then this whole section of my identity is assaulted and assailed, and I'm off.
Right.
And there's what am I going to do to fill that hole? What am I going to do? And it comes down to people will find this thing. They'll build it up. It'll take this huge chunk of their whole existence, their whole identity.
Their identity relies on it.
And right
Kevin
now,
Smith fans or
yeah.
is an example. I'm a Kevin Smith fan, but not to the point where.
But not like where
I don't shower and bathe.
Like I find him personally. reprehensible. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he talks about things. I just don't like the guy.
Right.
But I like his movies.
Well, and I'm not going to sit here and fight with you about, like, I'm not going to try to convince you to like him.
Yeah.
That's
absurd. Like, Mallrats is fantastic.
Fans, oh, yeah, Mallrats is
I'll watch Mallrats phenomenal. Anytime it comes across. I'll be like, oh, yeah. Or Zach and Miri Make a Porno. That movie is fun. Fucking start to finish.
Yeah.
It's fun. And his movies are fun, with the exception of, like, Cop Out. He's got a pretty solid filmography that I've seen.
And Cop Out, I'll give him a pass because it was a... He didn't get along with Bruce Willis. Apparently, they've mended fences. But it was also, like, a... He didn't write the script. That wasn't his bait. Like, he didn't...
That makes a lot of sense.
This was one of the first things he came in on. Cold.
Oh.
And then, but then he's like went and directed like CW shows. Like he's done a bunch of Supergirls and shit like that. But
yeah. That show was good until late season two, early season three when they just, again, another thing. And this wraps up two of the points I was making. One, when some single thing becomes so much of your identity that it's the only thing you can talk about, your sexuality, your race, your being a parent. Drinking those dudes in high school that were all about pot all the time, like that was their whole existence was this plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have
and they hold on to that through their 20s, 30s, and then it comes a point where it's like,
do you never move past?
How old are you? Like it's like where can this conversation go? Can it go any further? Because all I hear now
is pot
is just
pot,
a pothead,
and. And
I get your advocacy.
Yeah, because I believe in it. I think it should be legal in all 50 states. And
right.
I think that people should be able to use it medicinally. I think it's a great way to calm your nerves. And if you can be responsible and do that, fine. But if it's your only thing,
if it's your fucking lifeline,
you,
yeah,
then you are not worth knowing. It's like the people whose sexuality is the only thing about them, the only thing, or veganism, or CrossFit. Like, these people grab these things, and it's, oh God, I'm such a fucking useless person that I have to hold my whole identity in this right. one thing. Mothers are that way. You see a lot of mothers, especially
first time moms.
Yeah,
like
they
if
were
they're
great.
Having their one kid, and then, oh man.
And then they shift into this, oh, I'm just,
and they act like they're the only one that's had a kid.
Right. Like, no. Yeah. No. Half the population has had a kid. I will never have a kid. That's a good Joe Rogan joke, though. One of his stand-up bits about women wanting power. Like, you already have half of everything. You have all the people. You make all the people.
Yeah, no shit. And
fantastic. But anyway, and so there's that. But then there's, then that is something that can be used to manipulate people. And, you know, like people who only, their only identifier is their race. Nothing else. Or feminists. They don't even care about women. They just identify with feminism and they want female empowerment, but not that one. Not that woman.
She's a bitch.
She's a bitch. Karen, don't give Karen anything.
Karen.
And all of that stuff, they use that. Because if we're fighting amongst ourselves, because it really is the rich versus the poor. There's no other separation that matters. I don't care what your race is. I don't care what your gender is. You can be a fucking dragon pixie for all I care and only want to fuck horses. I don't care. As long as, one, I don't have to see that shit. Two, have to hear about that shit. And yeah, three,
just
you
let
can,
me, let
you
me
can
go on
provide,
my hikes. Let me do my thing. Let yeah. me be, do what I want to do.
You, as
you
long
do
as
what
you provide
do,
some
do it away
benefit
from me. Don't,
to the community.
Yeah, and don't hinder anything that I'm doing.
Speaking of, I will never be able to run for office because of this podcast right here. Not any other episode, but this one. I've said entirely too many things. I've had entirely too many opinions. But if you look at
but
it...
But you don't aspire to that, so that's just it right there.
Yeah, people keep telling me to run, but I'm not gonna... It's just not gonna happen. I'm too... I can't hold my tongue.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to... It's gonna be shows like this or nothing for me at this point. But as long as the pitchfork people are fighting with the torch people. Have you seen that comic? There's a king and his advisor standing, and there's people in it. Like, just tell the torch people that the pitchfork people want torches taken away. And they'll just, I mean, you've got it with the Second Amendment guys against the anti-gun people. You've got it with Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. You've got it with and Blue Lives Matter. And, like, I have a bunch of friends that are cops. I have family that are cops, and they're great people.
Oh, yeah.
But not all cops are good people. Most of my friends
and
are...
And most of those friends that are cops would probably acknowledge that as well.
Right. And I don't blame them for... And people on the opposition will say, well, if you don't come forward and turn in the people who are bad, you're just as bad. I don't agree. It's easy to say that. Like when I was talking about Kamala Harris and how last year in April, she said, oh, I believe all of Biden's accusers. I think, but she just, right. she jumped on the fucking ticket with him today. But would I do that? Probably.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Like,
if I had something I wanted to accomplish.
What are the choices? What choice do they have?
Does she fade into obscurity?
Yeah.
Or does
cashier
she...
at McDonald's? I mean,
well, no, she's fine.
She's
been,
fine.
She's
I'm not
been
talking about
senator long
right,
enough.
Right, right. She'll be okay. I know. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. But I'm talking it like for a police officer, for example.
Yeah, yeah. Is he just going to leave the force? Is he going to turn these people in and maybe get killed
Go
on
do
the
an
job?
Office job? Right.
Not get backup. Fuck you. Fuck you. Like, you don't understand that job.
There's a yeah. Just watch Departed.
I worked for the sheriff's office for 2.5 years before I went in the Army, and it is not... You cannot do that job without backup.
Interoffice politics are crazy.
sheriff's offices are a little worse than most places as far as interoffice politics, because your boss is a politician and has to work as a politician.
Right.
And I mean, and it's not even a bad thing for him. Like it, like our current one, Joe, fantastic guy. I knew him when he was still on tribal police, when he moved over to the sheriff's office, and he's a great guy.
But he's got a bad rep now.
But he's got a bad rep now because, one,
he posted some things that bit him.
Yeah. And he,
because he's
he
become
made some
part
budget
of a social justice
that were not popular. And I think there was something about, there was some disagreement within the office that was not handled properly. And I don't know all of the background on all of that
but
stuff.
But that doesn't that doesn't speak to his character.
No.
And who he is as a person.
And his law enforcement philosophy is right in line with mine. And and at the end of the day, that's what I need in my sheriff.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and with politics, you kind of have to look at it that way. And so, is Kamala Harris a hypocrite for jumping on that ticket? Probably a little bit, but who isn't?
Right.
And who that high in politics?
Especially if you're in that, if that's your line of work, yeah. If there's a politician that isn't hypocritical in some way along their career path, then
show me that motherfucker.
Show me, because I can't think of one. Because I'd say Sanders would be right on there. Let's see. Didn't comment for some reason, so a little bit late, but my dad used to say, God rest his soul, women have all the
pussy and,
pussy
half, the
and
money.
Half the money. Yes.
It was the pussy that they cut you out for. If you put it in quotes, I think it's okay. Yeah, that's true. God, where did I hear that first? Because I've heard that several times. And they do. Well, and you hear Dave Chappelle's bit about white women, like the least oppressed people in the world. The least oppressed people in the world today. Maybe not historically. But,
constantly
but
advocating.
Today, straight white women are probably in the best position of anybody right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hashtag believe all women. Hashtag me too. All of that stuff. I mean, you can't say peep about a woman and without get, I mean, I'm going to get fucking hate from at least one of these four people, I'm sure. And
well, we had five, one left. So.
One left. I must have said something about cunts. But I don't remember where I was going. I had a thing and I
white
got
women
detracted or pulled off of it by white women, which, yeah. Hypocrites. And who isn't?
Oh, I'm a hypocrite. I'm
everybody.
Yeah.
If you have children, you're probably a hypocrite.
To live your life, you have to be a hypocrite.
Well,
my kids call me a hypocrite at least once a week, and I'll be like, yeah.
Before it went bad, Game of Thrones, Jaime Lannister said it. He said, you've sworn so many oaths that you can't not break one. Whenever. I mean, maybe we're not in that age where you're swearing oaths to things, but like you can't keep all of the promises that you make. And you can't even be held to an ideal you had 10 years ago. Because 10 years ago, I was just getting back from my first deployment. Like,
yeah. Well, and as people, I think we all kind of, all of our ideals actually evolve over time, depending on our life experience and just education.
I suppose it was 12 years ago now that I think about it. God damn, it's
because
been a long
time. If I were to sit down and have a conversation with me from 12 years ago, be a lot different conversation than today.
Yeah.
All right, that's the show, everybody. Thanks for joining us this episode. Hope you enjoyed what we're putting out here. If you want to support us in some way, you can go over to patreon.com/timespentpoorly. Otherwise, go to timespentpoorly.com, where you can find all the links to all of our social media information out there, including Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, Periscope. We're on all of that stuff, so you can kind of... It's like a real Sophie's choice of who you can What social network you can follow us on.
We couldn't make the choice, so you don't have to.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that's been the show for this week. We'll hope to bring you some great stuff next week. Thanks again for joining us, and until next time, goodbye.